Sorry, I didn't have the, hold on, I don't have this one yet. You started before me.
Okay, roll call, please.
Varga.
Here.
Romano.
Here.
Weigle.
Here.
Lockelman.
Here.
Adamson.
Present.
Before us, we have the minutes from March 10th. Has everybody had a chance to read those? If I have a motion for the acceptance of the minutes?
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any questions? All those in favor should assign.
It was gone.
All approved. Those present. Next up is time for public comments. So any public that's got comments on anything? I did bring up something in Board of Works about, I had a phone call on our park trail requesting signage for people that don't put their dogs on a leash. I had a lady or a gentleman call in about his wife walking the trail and a couple dogs come flying at her. And the owner said, oh, they're super kind, but you know, if a person's walking, they don't know that that animal is a ferocious or not. So they were asking us to put signs up if possible. Maybe we brought it up at Board of Works and Matt said he could probably put signs up at maybe the entrances or where those are to help remind people. Because we got people probably coming in from the county that don't understand the leash ordinance. And so I did bring that up. I just wanted to let you know that I did get a phone call or something like that. So I think the best we could do is place signs, you know, to help people understand there are ordinances involved within the city that they need to keep their dogs on a leash. Otherwise, you're quite honestly opening yourself up for some lawsuits if there is an attack or what have you. So I just wanted to make sure of the map.
Like I told Dan, we had to put up some signs over at Eagle Park and over at Marsh's because some of the owners will put the dogs like out on the old football field and shut the gates and let them run. And, you know, that's not allowed. So we put some signs up over there. We put some signs up at Marsh's. We have a few extra ones so we can put them up. No problem.
So just to let you know that what's going on. Public? We have a public. Okay. Next up is the Enterprise presentation. If you'd like to come up, state your name and address, and let us have it.
I don't know if there's a way to plug in, or if you guys are good, we just walk through it.
Terry, can
you? If not, it's not a huge deal. I can walk through verbally.
Plug in to the TV. Yeah. All right, there it is. I'll let Terry finish it. I'll mess it up.
Right here soon. Address number 4 William, Indiana resident. So I'm not Columbia City, but I am Wichita Client Strategy Manager. I work with Enterprise City Management. I am Columbia City's representative. So Mayor Danny asked that I just come here and kind of explain what we do for the city, what our model is for the city, and then just go through some actual numbers here as well. So I want to be cognizant of everybody's time. So I'll just show you kind of the agenda and what we're going to walk through real quick. I'm going to be relatively quick, but at any point, if there's any questions, please feel free to just stop me. We can dig as much as you guys want to. But really, I just got 6 slides ready to present. The first 3 slides is just conceptual, just kind of model more of what our program is based out of. And then the last 3 slides are actual numbers year over year, the last 12 months for what the Columbia City has done in terms of performance and financial performance there. So the first model that I'll show you is really basically what our entire model comes into. What we do for the city and our other partners are really, you know, we want to manage you guys' fleet of vehicles from acquisition to resale. And what we do is just use data-driven or database-driven opportunities in terms of when to replace you guys' vehicles, And we do that based off, again, not only Columbia City's data, but Enterprise being a larger company, we have millions of vehicles that we collect data from. We just try to make sure that we replace the vehicles when that vehicle's at the lowest total cost of ownership. It's an optimal time to replace when there's still significant resale value in the vehicle. Before significant fuel degradation, we always want to make sure you guys are having the most fuel efficient vehicles. And before there's any catastrophic maintenance issues, those high-dollar, $7,000 to $8,000 repairs, we want to be able to replace it while using that equity to put towards the next vehicle to keep those costs, total costs down. Any questions on this slide here? So the next slide is conceptual. So when we talk about total cost of ownership, you'll see on the right-hand slide, the depreciation, fuel, the maintenance, downtime, and administrative costs. So most people conceptually think of, I buy a vehicle, I pay cash for a vehicle, now I don't have a payment, so I'm going to ride that vehicle until the wheels fall off. But we know there's still costs involved with vehicles. So no matter how you purchase your vehicle or pay for your vehicle or fund your vehicle, whether it's paying cash, lease, market value finance, however you guys decide leasing. And by the way, we don't care how any of our clients do finance the vehicles. It's up to them. But what we do know is the 46% of the depreciation, the cost of the vehicle itself, runs almost about half of it. But the other half is, you know, operating expenses, your fuel, your non-scheduled maintenance, your maintenance schedule, the downtime, all that kind of stuff. So really, when it comes to acquisition, when it comes to the vehicle price itself, we use Columbia City's purchasing. So it's not like you tapped in and we can't get you this great discount on the price of the vehicle itself. That's what a lot of people think. Since we're Enterprise, we have 2 million vehicles, you guys can plug into that. It's not the case. You guys can purchase the same exact vehicle. Where we come in is we help you guys maximize incentives to tell you where to go to purchase the vehicle and the right time to purchase the vehicle to get that cost as low as possible. But really what our bread and butter comes into is, can the operational expenses, can we really minimize those costs, which again, sell the vehicle when we can maximize the resale value. And when we sell a vehicle, whatever we get for the equity, plus there's a $400 charge for us to sell the vehicles, every other dollar goes right back to Columbia City. That's your guys' equity, that's nothing that we keep, that's your guys' money. So how can we maximize what we sell out of that vehicle as well? Any questions on kind of the breakdown of what it costs? And again, this is conceptual. This isn't Columbia City's numbers. It's just the idea of where the breakdown costs for a vehicle over lifestyle costs for you guys. Any questions on this one? When it comes to funding a vehicle, again, we don't care how you guys fund a vehicle. It's up to all of our clients that they want to individually do it. We typically do recommend market finance. It's also known as open-end leasing model. So there's a couple different ways to finance and why we recommend what we recommend here. So breaking down this chart, at the very top, you see the $42,000. Again, a model, this is the actual price that Columbia City pays for the vehicles. It does vary, obviously, depending on the type of the vehicle. But option number one, you pay cash, you pay that $42,000 for the vehicle, and that's $42,000 immediately the right way that you guys are spending money. Option two, if you do more of the traditional lease, you write it down to zero reciprocal at the very end of the lease program. Payments have to be higher, just because you have to continue paying it down to zero in the same time frame. So you can see the estimated monthly payment with that style of lease is $875. I'm looking on the right hand screen. Now for us, we think it's not as wise to put as much money as possible into a depreciating asset. So we want to keep as much cash as possible into our clients' pockets. We know vehicles are part of the business, you guys do have to, but we're going to minimize the payments to make sure cash is staying in the city. So again, we typically recommend the open-ending leasing model. So you take the same $42,000, instead of writing it to $0, we're going to write it to roughly about a $10,000 unpaid principal there. At the end of the term, again, we sell the vehicle. Let's say this specific instance, we sell the vehicle for $22,500. What we do with that cash is we're going to take that $22,500, that $10,000 we're going to pay off because we still owe the vehicle. The remaining part of that resale, the $12,500, that equity that goes back into your guys' pockets, do whatever you want. If we can cut you guys a check, we can put it towards the next vehicle as a down payment to keep those costs down, or we can credit invoice credit to you guys' billing for the next cycle as well through that. But again, instead of paying the $42,000 in principal payment up front or throughout a lease, we're saying pay $32,000. You can see the monthly payment compared to the writing it down to zero. About $200 in cash per month per vehicle will freeze you up, so that $10,000 in additional cash flow savings. So again, not only does it keep more money into your pocket, but it also allows more financially. We can extend it for a season. We can maximize your budget. If you guys need a year where we need to go out and get more vehicles, whether it's, you know, just an old vehicle, a vehicle that went down, a total loss vehicle, or whatever the case is, you have those extra funds to maximize your fleet budget out as much as possible. So any questions about the three different models? And again, right now, you guys are using the open-end lease model. So what we recommend there. So then getting into the actual numbers for Columbia City, so this is just something that we pulled from our site based off the data that we do receive from you guys' fleet. So we know Columbia City's fleet is larger than 35 vehicles, but currently we are tracking 35 vehicles in our system. The total fleet value of those 35 vehicles is just north of $1 million. Now, we want to make clear that it's not equity position, that it's total fleet value that you guys currently have. You guys' average age of the vehicle is just shy of 4 years. You guys have averaged 5 purchases per year. It's a little bit weighted there because the 2026s haven't all delivered yet. There's still some vehicles that are in order, so once those come in, that number will go up. The average holding period is 7 years. So what that means is if you continue purchasing 5 vehicles per year, it'll take you 7 years to cycle through that 35 vehicles. From a fleet health perspective, from a best-in-class perspective, you guys are one of the best there is in the state of Indiana. And I would say that confidently if you go to other municipal, I find it hard to find that you guys would have a better fleet in any other city, any other county. You guys' fleet, you have 31 of the 35, so 89% of your vehicles under 50,000 miles. You have 3 between the 50 and 100, and you only have 1 over the 150-mile mark. Your average odometer is just north of 17,000 as well. So essentially what that means, I'll show you the financials here in a little bit, but your vehicles are dependable. They're up to safety standards and safety codes. Hopefully, the drivers that are in the city, employees, enjoy driving a newer vehicle more than they don't, or more than an older vehicle that can't go a lot. You guys don't really have to scramble around for downtime vehicles, vehicles that are going to shop unexpectedly. Now, vehicles are vehicles. I'm not saying this program just eliminates them all, but we know the risk of a vehicle going down with 17,000 miles as opposed to 150,000 miles is a lot less there. Right? So keeping the vehicles on the road, keeping your employees happy, the vehicles popping, the vehicles that are driving. So any questions about your fleet profile? So getting to your actual numbers, I do want to make clear, so we do have programs that track pretty much everything the vehicle has, the maintenance, the fuel, telematics, engine codes, all that kind of stuff. For Columbia City, we track the spend and the resale. That's all we have access to, which is fine. It's a la carte. It's up to you guys whatever you want to do. So there's a lot of zeros and low numbers on here and one vehicle that we're tracking, all that kind of stuff. Just these are simply not tracking them. But you see the observations, the bullet points that I created. This is year-over-year spend. So you can see the average fleet, and this is just lease, not total fleet, because we do track some owned vehicles. But last year, you guys had about 28 lease vehicles in fleet. This year, on the left side, you have 32. The model year went down from a 21 to a 22, so a year newer vehicles. We replaced a decent amount of those vehicles. Your total spend per unit for a month lowered by $11 per unit, even though we replaced and got newer vehicles in your fleet. So again, a newer fleet, but you're paying less per unit. Again, we're not tracking operational expenses. However, you should see a drop in costs, just because in theory, newer vehicles cost less to maintain. They're not necessarily in theory, but the fact is newer vehicles have better fuel efficiency as well. So you're spending less fuel there. In the past 2 years, you just talk about maximizing your budget and make sure that we can do this and get you more vehicles. If we were to pay cash, for the same amount of vehicles that you guys got last 2 years, you would have paid $1.1 million for the 17 vehicles. Your total lease expense for all 32 vehicles year over year was $540,000. So almost twice as many vehicles for less than half of your guys' budget for the fleet there. And you can see the acquisition cost. So the 4 vehicles that have delivered in the past 12 months, just full sticker price out the door, cost just north of $49,000. The previous year was about almost $74,000 on that. So again, the difference is some vehicles have heavy outfit. That's where the higher cost came last year. Compared to this year, it's more your standard SUV half-ton trucks there. So hopefully you guys see how it's playing out. It's not that you keep on replacing vehicles to get newer vehicles. Our budget has to be increased, and there's going to be a significant more spend. I do want to make clear that, you know, Columbia City's kind of a unicorn. It's not always the case that you guys' lease expenses go down. You will see years where it does go up, depending on the vehicle, depending on the market. It's hard to predict markets 5-10 years out right now. But even if it was increased with the maintenance and the operational savings, you're going to see more of a stability, more budget-friendly, more predictable cost than if we were just kind of being reactive. The vehicle goes down, we have to go out to the dealer right away and get it. Any questions there? Last one is the resale performance. So again, current period versus prior period. This year, last 12 months, we sold 5 vehicles for you. The previous year, we sold 3. You can see average months of service on line 2. You guys are sticking to the plan. So your guys' terms, for the most part, vehicle by vehicle, we do a la carte. We don't necessarily say one size fits all. So not all leases are the exact same. But this year, you guys replaced the vehicle right around 70 months. Most of you guys' terms are around 60 months. So right there, what we do plan on it, average of annual down to $35,000. But you can see the average sales price this year is $18,800. Again, last year was significantly higher, but again, we replaced a lot of heavier, higher, more costly vehicles. But the total gains, we got almost $80,000 in gains. That's the equity that went back to your guys' fleet. Average gains per vehicle is just shy of about $16,000. Percent of industry benchmark, that is where we stand compared to Kelley Black Book pricing. So we outpace Kelley Black Book pricing by almost 17%. I'll tell you that there's nobody better in the business, and statistically speaking, than us selling vehicles. We know where to go. We sell close to 2 million vehicles a year. We know where to go and where to get the highest bid for you guys, too. The biggest number to focus on is the average effective depreciation at $8,500 there. Essentially what that is you take all the principal payments that you've gone towards that vehicle minus what we sold it for, the equity that you got back. You see over 70 months, a vehicle costs you about $8,500 in principal payment. You know, as opposed to spending $50,000 running it for 15 years and at the end of life you sell for virtually nothing, you're holding a vehicle for six and a half years and your principal payments are $8,500. What that breaks down to is a net effective depreciation per month of about $123 there. Principal, again, full transparency, it's principal payment that doesn't include interest, that doesn't include management fee, anything like that, but principal, that's what it's showing there. So again, my whole point to coming out to this is I know Columbia City residents need new vehicles, and I just want to make sure you guys are aware we're still being extremely fiscally responsible with the taxpayers' money. And hopefully you'll see these numbers reflect that as well. Questions?
That's one of the things I get hit up. Hospital, we always have new vehicles all the time. Well, they don't understand how this system works. The public doesn't understand.
Yeah. And the best part about it is government entities always get the best incentives. So you get the best purchasing power, but then we still go out to the market and sell for the highest dollar. And that's the big program. What we can do this is buy as low as possible, sell for as high as possible.
Sure.
And yeah, I think the numbers state that we are doing the right thing.
I'm very grateful you're here. We got a couple new compliments that might help help them understand how the system works.
Yeah.
So I was grateful that you showed up tonight to explain that to us. And help myself again.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I know I was here maybe 3-4 years ago doing something, but I'm not in time.
Yeah.
But this was, our 6th or 7th year in the program?
Sorry, 8th year partnership.
Pardon me?
8,
yeah. Okay.
Any other questions? All right. Well, thank you so much for being here. We really appreciate that. And hopefully people watching on the web will get a better understanding as well.
Yes, absolutely.
All right. Thank you.
You can just leave it.
You can just leave it. We'll get it for you.
All right. Next up is Fire Department radio presentation. Toby.
So I brought up to Board of Works. You all got the packets with the quotes and the letter of recommendation or justification for the purchase. I'm kind of speaking on behalf of the department. I, myself and Reese Perry, have done a lot of research on this. Reese initiated all the quotes and got numbers for us, set up meetings, got demo radios. We asked a lot of questions. Attached, you'll see quotes. Mainly the two that we looked at were Motorola and Kenwood through J&K. We did have L3Harris initially. They came at a very high price point, and they don't have the infrastructure built in. So, and full disclosure, we started with one sales rep and then got a second one midstream, and he wasn't real keen on selling us this radio because he don't know much about it. So we kind of wrote off L3Harris altogether. We mainly focused on Kenwood and Motorola. We've had both of those radios in hand, versions of what we're looking at purchasing, for about 3 weeks. Did some testing in air packs and mask in buildings in areas of the city that we struggle to reach. And hands down, the guys all across the board and gal say that Motorola is the way to go. The cops have been using them for 15 years. Dispatch consoles are Motorola's. They all work hand-in-hand very well together. These radios are just amazing. The technology in them is crazy, hence the high price tag. But Motorola has a backbone on the state system that's built out for redundancy. If we're out in the community and trying to reach communications or reach our IC on scene, it hits a tower, a radio tower. If that tower fails or the signal's not strong enough to reach out, it has a built-out backbone behind it that it can fall back on cellular technology to reach us still. And then if that fails, there's also Wi-Fi capabilities that are programmable in the radios too. So there's three different systems that this radio can fall back on to help us reach out. They are, the mayor brought this up earlier, they are a tri-band radio, so it will work on our current VHF system we're on now. It will also work on the 800 side, and then it has a UHF option as well. So we're looking at maintaining our old radios because we can't purchase enough of these to give everybody one on the department. But this would effectively put one in the hands of all the full-time staff, all the command staff, including our volunteer command staff, as well as a couple spares on each of the trucks. So it would replace 85% of our radio capacity at this time. We're still going to be utilizing those VHF radios in the meantime. So,
I'm going to just piggyback on Toby's, because I got the pleasure of being able to sit in through all of the meetings as well. He talks about this fallback capability, which is huge when we're talking public safety. And Motorola is the only radio that has this already built into it. To me, that was a huge factor when we looked at that, especially because there's several areas that we could be assisting at. There's areas down in South Whitley, for instance, that we could go to, and there's not going to be a normal reception there. So to have that already built in, so it's a little deceptive when you look at the other quotes, because we would have to go out, we would have to get the Wi-Fi boxes, all that other good stuff to be able to fall back onto that LTE capability. So there would be additional expense if we did go with the other radios. Knowing that the way that we're going to handle the radios, it's going to be included, and we've already had this discussion. We knew from the get-go that we were going to work towards including the lease of the radios in with the lease of the fire truck. So looking at a 10-year lease or bond on the fire truck, it only made sense to do so. We talked to all of the vendors when we met with them about if they offer a lease option. Yes, they did. We looked at their numbers. Nothing came close to the initial numbers that we got on the lease. From the numbers that we had from Indiana Bank Bond, that's who I would have recommended at the time that we go through. They came in with a 10-year. But at this point in time, we're really just looking for, this is coming. We don't know when. We can't get our final numbers from any of the banks until 90 days prior to receiving our new fire truck. So we don't know when that date is actually going to be yet. But definitely wanted to make sure that you guys were well aware that this was part of that purchase, and obviously it's something that we have to do at this point in time, and Motorola is definitely one mean, as Toby said, Gary, the police department has used it for 15 plus years, and knowing that it's going to be a radio that we have for a long tenure, it's not going to be something in 10 years we're going to, they're going to come back and say, hey, we need new radios. That's not what we looked at. We wanted to make sure that we had it, had the radios for a duration. So that's, and again, I felt it valuable that they had the radios in hand, you know, and be able to take them on site to be able to, okay, can we actually hear each other? And Motorola was surpassed the others.
I will say that the Board of Works gave a blessing to move forward, but not to purchase yet. We can't do that. You know, we're the financial body that does that. But the Board of Works went ahead and said, hey, we'll give a blessing to move forward with the Motorola. But yeah, like I say, we can't order them or do anything until we financially get things in place. You know, and that's going to be down the road a little bit. So,
am I reading this right? The Motorola is $443,000. And the JK is $173,000.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. It's a huge number.
Yeah, we questioned that as well. But like you say, what we're getting with the larger amount far surpasses.
It's a better radio. That's a fact. There's no doubt about that, for sure. And the reception is a big deal, too. I mean, that's bar none. So.
Well, and Toby, how old are our radios now?
Oh, my goodness. We're running VHF radios. So a little backstory, because I know that a few of you are new, and not to beat a dead horse here, but the county's paging system, and we're paged by the city. We still run a VHF signal here in town. But the county system is aging. It's 25 years old. It's got a series of repeaters. A lot of the parts are obsolete. Even J&K will admit that, you know, it's a system that it's a dying breed, and nobody wants to reinvest in it. So the state went through years ago and put up a statewide system for the troopers, and there's site towers that we'll be utilizing on the 800 side of things now that they maintain. So part of the struggle to this is the county system. There really wasn't much in place to help maintain that system, and now that it's aging, there's really no funds to keep it up and keep it in good health and condition. They just moved some equipment, and we weren't sure that they were going to be able to realign things back up. What was your question originally? I'm sorry.
How old were the radios?
We've had the VHF radios we have currently probably, I would say, 15 or so years, maybe right around 15 years. All the full-time staff are carrying a little bit newer radio than we have on the engines, but right around 15 years. And we've been VHF in this county for years. The cops switched to 800, I don't know, 15 years ago for you guys.
2011.
About the same for the county deputies.
No, they had theirs for a little while longer.
Okay.
Not much.
Yeah. So
at the county redevelopment today, we had a presentation from Ed Scott from EMA,
yeah,
who was basically presenting a proposal regarding communication and tower locations, yep, and that kind of thing. If that goes through to where we have those type of capabilities and co-locates and new tower locations, mm-hmm, would, as far as coverage goes in your South Whitley, your Larwell,
yeah,
where we do have communication, major communication issues currently, would the lower cost radios work better if those towers and stuff were implemented? Is that part of the concern, is that we don't have enough towers and signal for,
yes,
these lower cost radios to operate properly?
So it can be complicated. 800s are not as a powerful of a radio signal to penetrate through buildings. That's kind of been some of Tom's reluctance in switching, and obviously it's a huge cost. We'd rather have staffing, you know, versus buying these expensive radios. But the county, we kind of drug our feet a little bit on switching to the 800 system initially because we were, like I said, more worried about staffing. At this point, now the majority of the county has switched over to 800 radios and paging, hence the need to fill the site down, you know, in South Whitley and get good coverage down there. The long of the short, no. The Motorola radios, the backbone that's built out in that just adds more redundancy. So if we're on a in a site, you know, South Whitley is a perfect example. We know there's a hole down there. You know, the deputies know that. They've done a lot of testing in that area. Motorolas can bounce between those two seamlessly, which is very important for our guys. If we're in a, inside of a structure and we're not able to get out, we don't have to reach down to our radio and make a change. Our radio does it for us. It switches over to that other system. It'll hit a cell tower or Wi-Fi network if we're in a school or a building that we can program our Wi-Fis in. So the Motorola, also what we get with us, which I don't know that we really highlighted in the paperwork, there's a 7-year plan paid for ahead of time. There's not going to be an extra fee next year or the year after to make sure that we have that coverage still available and working.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that, did that kind of answer your
question? Yeah, I mean, I don't see, and this is me, I mean, if it saves anybody's life, that $400,000 is going to look like nothing.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure that I'm understanding the communication of radios correctly in my own head to justify.
Are these the only ones that have cell signals built into them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So if they can't hit it,
they're right.
Well, and even to the fact that I think Toby touched on it, if we're inside the school or in at the hospital and there's no, we're not connecting to a Wi-Fi, our guys aren't manually having to change the channel to get to another channel. And Brent, I think you said it eloquently. If it saves one of our firefighters' life,
yeah.
It, that $400,000 to make sure that those guys are protected and be protected.
I think the analogy or the scenario that was put in place, I think it was this morning, is you have one of our department members fall through the floor of a building that's burning and can't have communication. And we could have prevented that by spending a little bit more money.
Or even the amount of time it takes to change to the different channel.
I just don't.
You might not have the presence of thought or the ability to do that.
I think you can program those too. To, if you had to have hands on all of it, you could go to Columbia City and get their Wi-Fi network, and you could, if it's encrypted, you could set it up to where once you guys reach inside the building, it automatically connects.
Yeah.
To the Wi-Fi.
Yeah, these will have over-the-air programming available, too. So, say we have a channel change or something, the way the word radio works that we need to send out to all the radios, we can push it out through software in it, and it, next time the guys turn their radio on, it prompts them to update it. We don't have to take that radio out of service and have it programmed and pay a fee. We'll have software we can maintain that in-house on our own, and when there are things like that are need to happen, we can do it on the fly, and it takes that cost away from being out of service and having to bring it in and get it changed.
No, I don't know if you need a vote or a motion or anything, but if
we can't do anything with it yet, right?
If you just need a consensus of support.
We just, again, wanted to, so that you know that this will be coming to you, and we wanted
presentation.
Your verbal support from you guys.
Was there a time frame, Gary, when you were going to have to move over to? Because I remember one of the meetings we talked about, would they get a better deal if they ordered X amount? But what's the time frame on that?
I mean, we don't have a time. Our radios are working great right now, but they are 15 years old now. But I'm just trying to prepare ahead. So I would like to get on board and see if we could get, if we got 25 more, to see if we could get a better price.
Would we have to finance that differently, though? Because,
But that's because they're leasing theirs through the fire department. The fire department don't want to pay for my
portion. Oh, it has to be two separate leases?
For his, yes.
Yeah.
And I think you still have 2 years left on your current radios?
No. We don't have anything on our radios.
Oh, okay. Must be something else that we're doing through Motorola for you guys.
Yeah, probably the Spillman.
Okay. So no, we have
the dispatch stuff,
on that.
Yeah. Okay. That's probably the dispatch stuff, not our police radios.
So.
I would say, for me, I'm in support of it.
Well, I'd say tonight was more of a FYI kind of a thing, so we know it's coming down the food chain. We're just not sure exactly when.
Once we know definitive delivery date,
yeah.
We'll I'll start the process and get new quotes for bonding.
But I am going to try to jump on board. I'm going to get a hold of Motorola and compare their prices with what these prices are. And if they're higher, I'm going to get their prices. So per radio.
All right. Oh, so we can get going here for Brent, so we can get to the next meeting. We'll jump right into the department report.
I'm going to have to leave pretty soon.
Mike.
We started our UV system up. First sample came out today. It came in perfect, so we don't have any issues there. We also started biomonitoring. First sample went in on Monday. Second one will be tomorrow. Third one will be on Friday. We've also been reviewing applications for our position that we have. Unless you have questions.
Any questions from Mike? Toby.
101's being repaired. Adam, City Mechanics, doing some repairs to it for coolant and oil leaks. Our breathing air compressor is advertised for sale on the garage. Going through Leslie for all the financials on that. As far as I know, we haven't had any hits on it or any inquiries. But, the new compressor should be here sometime in April. Today we worked on moving that old compressor out to make room for the new compressor when it gets here. With spring break, we didn't want it to be sitting there, and we weren't ready for it. So then we had Trent Stamper, our fire marshal, and I took ladder 107 down to Indy for some water leaks that we found flow testing the other day. So it is out of service right now.
Any questions for Toby? Matt.
We're still hiring summer help. We went out to the high school to the career fair to pass out applications and talk to the kids out there to kind of help that. Putting the baseball and softball teams together to get the season started, which that starts April 25th is opening day. Dan asked last time about numbers. So 2025, we had 521 kids total. 2026, we have 570 kids total, so we went up this year. Also wanted to thank Kelly for letting Jason Wells come out and help my guys finish the concrete. That way Jason had a little tutelage with the guys and helped them out. We put up the rest of the nets for the weekend, and last night the park board okayed the dog park fence. And they also okayed the resurfacing or resealing of the three pickleball courts and basketball courts at the pool.
Any questions from Matt? McGee.
All right, I want to help Brent out. I got nothing to report. I'm just kidding.
Thank you.
Officer Garman, Officer Blocker, and Officer Didion are in their 12th week at the academy, 4 weeks to go, so we'll be glad to get them back. During that time frame, the other two guys should be released from FTO, so they'll be helping fill the schedule while Blocker and Didion are going through their FTO process. And then once they're almost to their FTO process, then Bedwell and Jansen will go to the academy, so we should be in good shape there. So we should have a few more guys on the road that'll help us out. Tornado sirens are functioning properly as expected. We replaced the batteries at Denzel Drive, and now all of them are working as they should. So knock on wood there. Thank Mission Barbecue for the generosity. They brought lunch today for dispatch and police as a token of their appreciation for our service. So we appreciate them for that. Friday, the 20th, we conducted Operation Pullover. We had six guys come in and work through the grant through the Indiana Criminal Justice Institute. And we targeted speed enforcement, moving violations, and hands-free driving compliance. So that resulted in 27 citations, 5 criminal charges, and several issued warnings. So pretty good production. They did that from 3 to 6. So I don't know if you guys heard anything on, there's a few comments on Facebook, but I don't know if anybody's called you guys and said, hey, what's going on with all Columbia City Police? So it didn't cost the city anything for these guys to go out there. It was all through a grant. So just lots going on day to day and influenced mostly by the weather. So the weather's getting nice. People are going out.
Any questions to Gary? Kelly.
Started tree removal tree removal this week, helping the electric department. Two of our guys did. I think there's 15 trees currently on the list. We'll continue that till that's done. We have a crew that'll start working down at the cemetery, cleaning up before Good Friday. Leslie put a notice out to the public to have things removed off the spaces so we can start cleaning all that up. We were able to get into the alleys last 2 days and grade them up, and they're in pretty good shape now. So that's it right now.
I thank Gallery for running the street sweeper on Main Street in Van Buren, because I was getting ready to get a little ticked off at the state for throwing all that crap on the. And all that stuff was going to run right in our storm drains. Yeah, so very grateful for Kelly going out and sweeping that stuff up, and because I was a little upset because I knew where all that stuff was going to go. So.
And I'm like, NDOT, I know you guys try not to do a major intersection at noon.
Yeah.
NDOT does not care.
Yeah.
So thank you for that too.
Usually try to avoid that.
Yeah, I know. I know.
So, Terry.
Working with Corson Fire Systems and SOS Communications to make it possible for us to monitor the fire system in the old jail. Hopefully we'll have that process done by the end of the week or into next week. Entrust was down today to work on our SCADA system, and they couldn't finish because of some issues in the water department equipment. So they're going to be back hopefully this week to finish that up. And that's all I got.
Any questions to Terry?
No.
Leslie.
I apologize. I'm trying a new dictation to maybe help Sally with taking minutes. So if I keep looking, I'm just making sure that it's catching everything. I want to thank you guys for allowing me to go down 2 weeks ago for training. Had a really good 5 days of training with other court treasurers. Brought back a lot of new information. Going to be working on some modernization changes. Already started to impose some of those changes. Just wanted to reiterate, didn't cost anything other than my hotel room because I applied for a scholarship, and I got the scholarship that covered the class. So, but again, I'm required to take so many hours, and it was really good camaraderie. I want to thank the department heads that joined today. We had BSNA, which is the cloud version of Keystone, which is the software system that we use for all of our financials and utility billings. They were in. We had a full day of training. So I have some back work that I need to do and to be able to present to you, but we'll be coming to you in May to hopefully get your approval to move forward with transferring to that software. It won't be till next May when we get it, so it wouldn't be like we're getting it right away. But we need to make a decision by June. So I'll be working on that. And I've asked everyone in the department, so just so you know, it's not just me coming to you. All of the gals in the utility office, they're putting down their notes, what they feel that they can be better because of the BSNA cloud system. And hopefully I can get the department heads to do the same, because I think we're going to be able to integrate systems. So we're looking into that. So that will be coming as well.
I just want to wish everybody have a safe spring break coming up and a happy Easter. So that's my main thing coming up. So Jennifer.
I have nothing.
Wow, no art stuff.
I know, shocker.
I have nothing.
Great.
No, sir.
Adam. With no press and no public, we'll call the meeting adjourned.